experiencing, but more the fact that David was committed to following God, wherever it led him. And it may lead him into situations where he's surrounded by enemies. It may lead him to situations where he's feeling in distress and under stress. But nevertheless, his desire is to follow the ways of the Lord. Amen. So we're going to look at some of the verses in here, and I hope give some guidance of how we are to follow the Lord and how we discern his plan for us. So first of all, let's be sure in our hearts about this. God wants us to involve him in the major decisions of our lives. God wants us to involve him. Now, I'm not saying every single decision you make in your life you have to bring before God. You know, what should I have for breakfast? Lord, show me. Is it the toast? Is it the cereal? Sorry, I'll get people. I've come across people, and that's how they behave. Now, yeah, in some ways it's honouring God, but in some ways that's actually, you know, God has given us common sense. What do you want to eat? And importantly, what are you allowed to eat? For some of us, that's an important issue. But God wants us to involve him in the major decisions of our lives. But we need to be able to discern the guidance that God gives. It's important that we involve him, but how do we hear his voice? How do we ascertain what his will is and what our steps are to be? I've said that I've called them the roads and routes of our lives. Okay, so sometimes, yeah, we're on a road or we're on a route, and we have that picture of the pilgrimage of faith that all of us are on as Christians, and we can think perhaps if we ever read the Pilgrim's Progress, we can think of the way that the Christian is led to the holy city, the celestial city, and that's our aim, isn't it? We want to be with God, but there are going to be routes, and there are going to be routes that we need to take that God wants us to take. And there'll be roads and routes that God does not want us to take. And we need to be sure that we're following the right signposts, if you like. The problems many of us have is when we divert from the path that God intends for us. We go off on our own ideas. We think we can take a shortcut. Yeah? Shortcutting God's plan, I'll tell you now, does not work. Because God has his habit of bringing you back to where you were. He said, now find the right route. Yeah, I have a plan, I have a purpose for you to follow this route. There may be times of testing, there may be times of trial, there may be times of temptation on that route that God has designed for us and planned for us, but they're there for a purpose, to build us up in our faith, in our trust in him. Amen? Because sometimes we like to have a shortcut, because we can see there's a problem on this route, I'll shortcut that and I'll avoid that, and God is saying, no, I want you to go through this, because I want to build you. I want to build more resilience into you. I want to build more faith in you. I want to build more trust in me, in you, through going through these difficulties, going through these experiences. So let's not be those who say, oh, well, you know, I know a shortcut. Because when you do that, you know what you're saying? I know better than God. Anybody here know better than God? Thankfully, nobody got their hand up. Good. Because he has the perfect plan, and he knows everything about us and knows the best ways for us. Amen? And I think in this psalm, there's six steps. So this could take a little while. I won't dwell greatly on any of them. But there's six steps that we use, or can use, to that God uses to faithfully guide us. And look, there's nothing new here. But we need to be reminded. There are no shortcuts in following God. There are things we need to put into place in our lives to ensure we're hearing aright from God. So first of all, prayer, and a horrible word that none of us like, submission. Submission. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Those first couple of verses. David submits himself to God in an opening prayer. And it's saying, I put myself in you. I trust in you. I entrust my soul to you. And so we come to God and say, Lord, you know best. I'm trusting you that you will respond to my prayer and you will show me the way, and I won't claim that I know better than you. To you, O Lord, I lift my soul. That's David's experience. That's what David does. So we lift up our souls. In other words, we pray. If you want to know God's will for your life, you've got to start with prayer. That conversation with our Father in heaven, who has the best plan for our lives. Yeah, someone's going to make some very good plans that we want to do, but God has the best plan. Amen? So the first thing, we need to pray. But the point is, with prayer, many of us, and I include myself, we're very good at praying to God. We're very not so good at listening for the response from God. Yeah? I'll talk. And the next day I'll talk. But I don't actually give God space to reply. Because sometimes our own voice sounds so much better than God's voice in our ears. So we need to have an attitude that not only listen for God's direction. That's the first part. Listen for his voice. The Holy Spirit will come and will show you. He will speak to you if you will have ears to hear. How many times did Jesus say that to the people he was talking to and preaching to? He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. But too often we are all this and not enough this. As I've said so many times, and other people have said many, many times, God gave us one of these and two of these, and they're in the right proportion. And too often we use this far more than we use these. But we need to have ears to hear, but then actually we need to have the will to say, actually, yes, what I've heard from God, I will put into practice. Rather than saying, well, Lord, I'll weigh it up, and if it seems a good idea to me, I'll do it. Anybody done that? Or was it just me? Come on, there's one or two of us being honest. We hear God's voice, but we don't like what we hear. Because it doesn't fit in with our ideas or our thoughts about what we want to do in our lives. And we say, okay, can I have a second opinion? Preferably my own. Yeah? But we need to have that will to follow it when God speaks. And we need to pray as he does here. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. They say, as I go through the road, as I go through the route you show me, Lord, protect me. And we need to be praying that as well, don't we? Lord, you've shown me the way, but Lord, will you protect me? Because I, at times, might get fearful about what you are telling me to do or showing me to do. So we pray for guidance, but let's also pray for protection on the road. Because you know what? God's got a great plan for your life. And I'll tell you, somebody else has got a great plan for your life. And that's the enemy. The devil, he's got a plan for you. To deceive you, to kill you, destroy you. That's what he wants to do. He has a great plan to divert you from the purposes of God. To get you involved with this thing and that thing, which might in time seem very good, but it's not the best. It's not what God wanted you to do. So we've got to remember, we have an enemy. As David had enemies that surrounded him, physical enemies, we have a spiritual enemy. And he will seek to devour us. That's what Peter says, isn't it? He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I don't want to be eaten by a lion. Yesterday I had great joy to go and see the Lion King in London. It was wonderful. And you can't start thinking, oh, these lions, aren't they wonderful? You know what, if a real lion came down there, I'd be off. Because they're awesome animals. Awesome creatures that God has made. But Peter says he's like a roaring lion, the devil. But you know what? What do we need to do? What we're told to do? Rebuke the enemy and he will flee from you. Unlike perhaps a real lion, if I start rebuking that lion, it won't bother. It'll just keep coming. But the devil, we're told, when he comes near and we rebuke him in the name of the Lord, he will flee from you. But it won't stop him trying again. He's very subtle. That's what we're told right at the beginning in Genesis, isn't it? Yeah, the serpent was the most subtle of creatures. He has his plans, but God's plan is greater. So pray for direction, but also pray for guidance. Secondly, if you want to follow God and you want to follow his plan, you've got to clear the way. You say, well, yeah, but God will clear the way for me. No, there are times we have to take action to clear the way. There's going to be obstacles in the way of our journey. So we need to make sure that if we're going to follow God, there's nothing in our attitudes, nothing in our speech, nothing in our behaviour that stop us clearly hearing the Lord. If we're involved with stuff we shouldn't be involved with, it makes it very difficult to hear the Lord because we listen to other voices. Other voices that surround us, other voices that want to influence us. Voices like the voice of the enemy wants to lead us astray. Amen? So we need to, as it were, clear the way. Clear the way so you can concentrate on hearing very clearly what God has to say. And when we're clearing the way, there's some things that need to be dealt with. And I believe David gives us a clue to some of these. First of all, we need to get rid of the sins and weaknesses which are in our hearts. Amen? Do not remember the sins of my youth and my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Amen? Verse 18, it says, look on my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Get rid of those enemies. Get rid of those sins. Get rid of anything that's of you. I put there, there's no room for selfish ambition. But I want to do great things for God. But are those great things the great things that God wants you to do? It is so easy to slip into the idea, I can make a name for myself. My name will be thought of highly by other people. If I do this thing, if I do that thing, if I acquaint myself with certain people, the lustre of their fame will rub off on me. There's no room for that. There's no room for selfish ambition. Nothing wrong with being ambitious for God. But whose fame are we? Is it our heart? Is it ours or is it God's? It's got to be God's. Amen? There's no room for selfish. There's no room for covetous desires. Yeah, David is concentrating, I want to do your will, Lord. He could have said, well, he could have cried out, God, protect me from my enemies and let me have huge amounts of money. Let me take all their plunder. But he doesn't say that. He just wants to do what God says. You know, God will prosper those who walk in his ways. I have no doubt about that. But prosperity isn't just about money. I want my soul to prosper. Amen? You know, whether my bank account is, you know, full or half empty or even empty, or worse than empty. How is my soul? How is my soul? And we need... David's very honest. You know, he says, don't remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. Don't remember them, God, please. Because he's remembering them. He knows they're there. We've got to be honest with ourselves. There may be weaknesses in our lives that need to be dealt with before we can move on. Before God can take us, if you like, to the next step or the next level. If there's a weakness that needs to be dealt with, it needs to be dealt with. Now you may need help with that, perhaps from a more mature Christian or somebody who you know has been through a similar situation, just to help you, to pray with you, above all to bring God into the picture. Amen? There's nothing that God cannot overturn and make a weakness into a strength. Yeah? God can do this because he takes the weak things in this world and he had to shame the mighty. Praise God for that. But we need to be honest with ourselves. If there's something that, you know, we struggle with, well, let's admit it, first of all, and then let it deal with it. Because God won't move you on until it's dealt with. Because if that weakness is there, then it will continue to detract from your walk and divert you from your purpose day after day. And if that weakness isn't dealt with now, you know what? Further down the road, it's going to become a bigger stumbling block than it would have been if you dealt with it straight away. Amen? And I think we need to say that we need to pray for God to guide us, not for us to rubber stamp our plans. Because again, we get that, don't we? We say, God, I want to do this, I want to do this, and this is... Is that okay, God? Yes, it is. Fine, great, God. We're here to obey His plan. To seek His heart. Not for God to as a rubber stamp our plan. Yeah, that's fine, David. Yeah, you do that. No, that's not got to be the attitude. I want to do God's will. Not my will be done. It's thy will be done, isn't it? Amen? So clear the way. If there's obstacles to what God wants you to do, you've got to deal with them. And the sooner you do it, the better. Amen? Verse 5 says, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Well, where are we going to find His truth? Lead me in your truth and teach me. We're going to find it in His word, aren't we? As I've said so often, and it's not my own quote, I've heard it years ago from somebody else. His will is in His word. So what's God's will for you? It's in His word. The word of God is so important. And first of all, I've got to say, God will never tell you to do something that's contrary to His word. Never, ever tell you to do something that's contrary to His word. You know, there can be situations where perhaps you think, well, if I do this, you know, I think it's not quite as God would want it, but if I take this, you know, do this thing, nobody will ever know that I've done this, and yeah, the ends justify the means. Isn't that how the way of the world is? The end will justify the means. That's not for the Christian. We need to ensure that what we're doing is supported by His word. Amen? He'll never tell us something that's contrary to His word. And we need to be very careful. If we think we're being told or guided to do something that's contrary to His word, alarm bells should be ringing. Whoa, there's no justification in Scripture for this thing, or for this attitude, or for this action. In other words, God's saying, clear away from it, avoid it. And so, I believe the Bible has great and powerful guidance, helpful guidance on many important issues in our lives. First of all, our use of money. God is how we use our finances. Jesus talks more about money than just about hell. Because it's how dangerous it can be. Because money is, and the love of money is a snare, isn't it? It can trap you. So we look to God's word to guide us. How can we use the finance that He has given us? The first thing to say is, it's not ours. We're stewards of what God has graciously given us. See, but I worked, you know, 60 hours last week and I earned it. Who gave you the strength to do it? Who gave you the opportunity to have that job in the first place? Who opened the door for you to be able to have that ability to do that particular job at a particular time? It's all of God. And so we are stewards of what He's given us. We're stewards of the gifts He gives us. We're stewards of the money He has given us. Let's use it wisely. Let's use it for kingdom purposes. Amen? There's guidance to say that actually we're to seek God's kingdom above anything else. And that's a big thing, isn't it? Seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things, Jesus, will be added to you. All those wonderful things that the world runs after, we'll get anyway if you seek the kingdom of God. Amen? Not to build our own kingdom, not even to build a wonderful career for ourselves. Seek first His kingdom. If you want to know what His plan for you is, it's going to be kingdom related. How will this benefit the kingdom of God? How will your new job, for instance, help promote the gospel? Will it provide opportunity to share the gospel with co-workers? Will that new pay rise or promotion enable you to support another missionary, for instance? Or another ministry that will reach out to the lost and hurting in this world? God opens opportunities. We need to recognise those opportunities and walk into them. tells us again also whom we should become yoked to. That's an old-fashioned word, isn't it? You know, I'm sure we're familiar with the picture of the yoke, yoking the oxen together as they walk together. And often in the Bible it talks about that in relation to marriage relationships. In other words, don't be yoked unequally. Because if you've got two oxen yoked unequally, there's going to be problems. Both animals end up being hurt. And we often use that in the context of marriage, doesn't it? Don't marry an unbeliever and so on, because it's going to be trouble. And I've got to say, in my experience, when it's happened, invariably, the one who is on fire for God, loved Jesus, but they've got a spouse who isn't, the fire dims. The fire dims. Please, please don't do it. If you're tempted to, I'll say don't do it. You say, well, if I do, he or she might get saved. Again, my personal experience, I only go by what I've seen, it doesn't work. It doesn't work, sadly. I know God can do all things, but rarely does. But a point on here, it isn't just about our relationships in terms of marriage, but in terms of business. If we're in business, if we're working, are you working for people who are actually honest, trustworthy, praiseworthy? You say, well, I'm being salt and light in that terrible corrupt organisation. Well, are you being effective? Because if it's still a corrupt organisation and you've been working hard in it, you know what? You're not being very effective. Yeah, sometimes you come across Christian business people and they'll say, well, I've got this contract, I've won this wonderful contract. And you think, yeah, but who are you doing business with? Delve a bit deeper. What's really going on here? You know, if you've got a good deal as a businessman, it's hard to believe it's such a good deal. You know what? You probably don't believe it. Same as us as consumers, if there's an offer you see which is too good to be true, it is too good to be true. It's false. So don't get involved with untrustworthy. I'm not saying you can only deal as business people with fellow Christians, because there's some good, honest, trustworthy people who are in the world. I have no doubt about that. But you need to discern who they are, rather than the charlatans and the rip-off merchants, those who will exploit workers in other countries so just so they can make more profit. The ethical guideline or the alarm bell again. How can they deliver this product so much cheaper than anybody else? You find out. Do some research. They're paying their workers what? You don't touch them, because you're just encouraging exploitation of others. So we need to be careful about who we work yoked to. And there's things which may be lawful, but they're not actually beneficial for us. And I've put a couple of verses there from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and chapter 10. Yes, it may be lawful in terms of the law of the land, and they may be very good for many people, but not for you. Yeah? Diverting you from the purposes of God. Maybe all very, very good, but it's not what God wants you to be involved with. Amen? So, there's plenty in the Bible to guide us in that. So, prayer, scriptures. Number three. Consider the options. The humble, and that's where hopefully we are, he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. But we can be taught and not hear, can't we? There has to be some personal discernment involved. Yep. I believe if we are humble in our attitude toward God, I believe he will guide us. It's when we start to think we know better than God, then actually we have a problem. We're going to come across problems, because God knows much better than us. James 1 verse 5 says, if any man lack wisdom, what should he do? He should go to the Father. Go to God. I'm not sure what to do, God. Lay it before God. Ask for the help of the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom needed. Ask for God to show you there may be a person within your fellowship or within your friendship group who you can go to and say, I've got this and I need some wisdom on this. Because I can see there's a route A, there's a route B, or option A and option B, and I can't discern for myself. Have you got any insight from your experience? Could you have some input here? Yeah? If any man lack wisdom, he should ask the Lord. And I say the Holy Spirit can reveal to us. But sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us people of experience and maturity to be able to say, yes, I think the Lord is saying this. Amen? You should ask the Lord. It tells us in 2 Timothy that God has given us a sound mind. Wow. He's given us it for a purpose. To use it. And sometimes we don't. Yeah? Sometimes we just rush into things without thinking them through. Oh, that'd be a good idea. Oh, I'll do this, and then I'll do this, and then I'll do that. A sound mind. You weigh things up. You think things through. You pray things through. Amen? I'd like to call this, again, it's not a phrase of my own, sanctified common sense. Sometimes, you know, we get ideas in our heads and they just do not make common sense. And they certainly don't make holy common sense. God has given us that ability to think for ourselves. We're not robots, we're not automatons, we're not puppets. God has given us minds to use. So let's use them. Yeah? That makes sense to you? Sanctified common sense. Next one. Got to realise that God is the sovereign Lord of all the earth. It shows you, as we were reminded in the worship time, before the creation of the world, with a perfect plan. And I believe that God overrules in circumstances. Sometimes we get this idea that, yeah, if this thing happens, then, yeah, ooh, it must be of God. And sometimes we miss actually what God really is doing, because we've got our idea of how God will show us. There's two words in this psalm, and in English both come out as teach, but they're actually slightly different. And one of them, which is used in verses 4, 5 and 9, means gain understanding. Basically, it says, teach me, Lord, give me understanding. Now, if you've got understanding, then you can apply the understanding, can't you? Yeah? And God is saying, or through David, God is saying, look, I will give you understanding. You will gain that, but that needs to be applied. It's like, you know, those of us who may have studied to a fairly high level, you've got all sorts of knowledge and understanding of, you know, I don't know, quantum physics. Total mystery to me, but some people have great knowledge. But the point is, how do you apply that knowledge? How do you apply it? Or is it just head knowledge? How do you apply it? And there's that awful joke about the guy who gets a degree in quite an obscure subject, and somebody says, do you know what the first words were in his first job of that guy who's got that degree? And it was, do you want fries with that? Because they got all this wonderful head knowledge about some great subject and probably talk in depth about this thing or that thing. But the reality was they couldn't apply that learning, that understanding, to reality, to real life. And yeah, I think you get the picture. So we can gain understanding. Lord, teach me, give me understanding. But the thought is, you've got to apply it. So you know, you can read this scripture back to front, time after time after time. If you don't apply the understanding of the words, well, it's just another book, isn't it? It's a wonderful book, but it's just another book. It's just words, words, words. got to gain the understanding of how to use it. But in verses 8 and 12, the word translated teach means guide, point out, or direct. So David is saying, I don't just want to know from you, God, I want you to direct me. To direct me. So not only teach, but in that teaching, show me. Show me, guide me, point out. Now sometimes in scripture we read a scripture and we think we know it, don't we? And we've read it many, many times. And then suddenly one day he comes to the scripture and says, Lord, show me what's in here. And suddenly something just, wow, pops out. Wow, I never saw that before. That's what God is guiding you or pointing you or directing you to realise this thing or to realise that thing. You might not have seen it before. It was always there. But you're saying to God, God, will you point it out to me? What is important? What is important? I want to say this. Sometimes we start on a path with God and we get a setback. Anybody experience that? You think, you know, I'm doing what God's told me to do, and something goes wrong. Well, don't be discouraged. God may well still be at work. As I said earlier, the enemy wants to try and disrupt you, but it doesn't mean that God isn't doing something in your life. He may be testing you. How will you deal with this situation? How can you grow in this situation? Don't just give up when the first barrier comes. Yeah, our God is a God of breakthrough, isn't he? And we are those who should break through those difficulties, because beyond the difficulty will come blessing. So don't be alarmed at minor setbacks to the plans. God may well still be at work, but he's just teaching you something else on the way. Amen. I've said this also. Don't lay too great a store by coincidences. Sometimes, yes, what the world calls coincidences are actually, you know, God's divine appointments. But sometimes we lay so much store on coincidences that we actually are diverted from the true path. You know, you come across people, and I know none of you, I know this, yeah, because you're all much more mature than this. But they'll be saying to God, God, you know, I'll do this for you if the next traffic light is green. Because I see that that is your direction to go. Well, you know what? I just think that's rather a flippant attitude to take to God. And the thing is, a lot often with people like that, the traffic signal's red. Okay, God, the next one, if it's green. And I keep doing it until eventually, you know what, it's going to be green. But you've forgotten all the reds along the way. Make sure the other steps that I've talked about, scripture, prayer, learning, discernment, and using your sound mind, also point in the same direction, that this is the path to go on. Yeah, the Holy Spirit will guide us. He's the one who will guide us, not the local traffic system. Yeah, for that analogy, then you can probably apply other things as well. If I walk around this block of road and I see somebody doing something, then I'll know it's of you, God. I can remember talking to one person who said, well, I kept walking around here until I saw the girl that God wanted me to marry. Really? When I probed this a little bit, this wasn't here, this is years ago. He said, yeah, but I found out where she worked, and I'm sure one day she's going to come out of the office. I'll see her. No, that's not God's direction, that's your plan, isn't it? Sure, she's going to come out one day. I don't know. But people grasp at these things, don't they? Rather than obeying God. Finally, when you're seeking God's help, we need to have that assurance. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, verse 14, and he will show them his covenant. He will show him his promise. Yeah? There's an assurance there that, you know, that secret thing of God, is with firstly those who fear him, those who honour him, those who reverence him. And he, God, will show him his, use the word covenant here, we could use the word promise, just the same. He will show him the promise he has made to him. Amen. We need the assurance. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He will. I can only speak from my own experience and the experience of many saints I've walked with and talked with over the years, that the best guide for our life is God. And if we are open to hear from his Spirit, he will direct our paths. He will show us our ways. Amen. This verse 14 also, there's a sense that the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. There's a sense that actually God will draw so close that he will show them the promise. I've put there, I've got to put down the reference where I found this particular idea. A sitting down in intimate consultation. You know, sometimes we want to make decisions, we need to get an expert in to sit down and go through their options. You know, perhaps if you're buying a house and you want to get a mortgage, you have to sit down and go through all the different options, yeah? The sense here that for those who fear God, God will sit down with them intimately and show them the way. I think that's a lovely picture. The Holy Spirit will draw so close and show this is the way. An intimate consultation. You know, the God who knows every hair on our heads is quite capable of drawing close and showing us. Amen? Got to remember, are we at peace? God wants us to be at peace in our decision making. Not, oh, well, it could be this, it could be that. Are we at peace about what the next step is? And one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. We should have a peace about what we're doing. We may be a little bit anxious and scared about it, but underlying there's a deep peace. Yes, I believe I've definitely heard from God. I'm going to walk in this way, and I'm trusting that God will bless this. Amen? Have we got that peace? I'm looking around, I'm seeing people going, I've been there. That's my experience. Others may look around and say, ooh, you must be in turmoil about this. No, I'm at peace. But this thing is so awful, it's in front of you. It could be so dangerous. I'm at peace. But that diagnosis you've had, I'm at peace. But going to the other side of the world, I'm at peace. Because God, through his Spirit, has brought the assurance. Amen. But in all this, we have to remember sometimes we're very good at fooling ourselves if it's what we really want, even if it's not what God wants. But Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart, deceitfully wicked. The centre of our emotions can be so overpowering. Yeah. There's a sense where we need to say, okay, I need the peace. It's not just relying on my emotions and getting excited and, oh, this is going to be wonderful. Is there a peace about this decision? There may be excitement bubbling underneath, but am I at peace about it? Yeah? So, what about us? Well, I think, first of all, let's rejoice that God is with us. As David experienced the presence of God in all of his trials and temptations and turmoil, God was with him. And God showed him the path. We know David fell at times. We know he got it wrong. You know, he's a man of blood. God said, you can't build the temple in my honour because you're a man of blood. So he's not always got it right, has he? David, but God was still with him. Because God looked down and said, he's a man after my own heart. His motivation was to do God's will. Sometimes the temptation came so strongly, he gave in. That gives me hope. I hope it gives you hope. God did not cast him away. completely. That wonderful Psalm 51, cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. And he goes on, create in me a new heart, renew a right spirit within me. God is with David, and God is with us. In that trial, in that temptation, God is with us. He wants to bring us through. Amen? Rejoice that God wants to be involved in our lives. Yep, our next door neighbours don't want to be involved. Well, some of them do. They want to do everything for you, don't they? But God wants to be involved in your life. Doesn't he? Are we assured of that in our hearts? Or is God so distant that, he couldn't want to be bothered with little old me? You know what? He created little old you and little old me. Created us with purpose. As I said at the beginning, purpose before the creation of the world, before he spoke a word, before there was light, before there was anything. God purposed in his heart that we would be here at this time, in this place, for a reason. There is a reason behind our lives. Amen? And he wants to be involved in it. He wants us to involve him. Rejoice. He's got a perfect plan. All of God's ways are perfect. All of his ways are just. And sometimes we say, oh, his perfect plan, I just don't get it. But you just come down to that place of saying, as David did, I trust. Oh God, verse 2, I trust in you. David is a mighty man, but I trust in you. He's a powerful king, but Lord, I trust in you. I don't trust in my position. I don't trust in my accomplishments. Amen? I trust in you, Lord. I trust in your plan. And for some of us, maybe facing difficult decisions or important decisions going forward, we need to come to that place and say, Lord, I trust you. My life is in your hands. And there's nowhere better it could be than in your hands. Because you're my loving Father who gave your Son for me. And he who gave his Son, will he not give so much more? Why do we worry about tomorrow? Why do we worry about this thing and that thing the world says is so important? As we sang earlier, when it's all stripped away, it's about a relationship with God. It's all about Jesus. Rejoice. God has a perfect plan for us. I believe that we submit to that plan, submit ourselves into his hands, he will guide us. And as I said earlier, I can only go by experience, and the experience of many brothers and sisters I've known over 30 odd years that I've been a Christian. I believe his Holy Spirit does guide. Guides us in the right paths. But let's not take our eyes off the guide. Because we will go astray, won't we? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes upon Almighty God. Don't look to the world for your encouragement or your direction. Go to God in prayer. Submission to his Spirit. Read his word. Seek counsel from other mature Christians who may have been along that path before. And they've known the agony, and they've known the joy, and they can impart and share it with you. It's been said so often, there's no such thing as retirement in the kingdom of God. Because those who are more mature still have plenty to give in terms of help, guidance and wisdom. Because we have seen God at work in our lives. We've seen him being faithful to his promises. We've seen him direct our steps when we're willing to follow. Amen. So submit. Yeah, that's one of the things. In humans, we hate to submit to anything, don't we? That's one of the. It's the sin of pride, isn't it? I don't want to submit to God. I don't want to submit to anybody. I'm my own man, and I'm my own woman, and I've got my own destiny in my own hands. And I want to say, I'm not in that camp. My destiny is held by God. I am not my own. As Paul said, I have been crucified. My self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me, and who lives in each one of us. Amen? So submit to his plan, his way. He will guide us. But let's ensure we use every means he's made available to guide us. Every means. That's prayer. It's counsel. It's his word. Use every means. Because God will show us. And for some of us, he shows us in different ways. For some, it's the word. And some, it's the spirit. Sometimes it's in prayer. But for most people, it's a combination of all of these things, I believe. Teach me your path, O God. Give me that understanding, yes. But then direct that understanding, that it can be profitable for the kingdom and fulfilling your plan. Amen? And it was a little bit different to last week's message in delivery and tone. But it's important, I believe, that we seek first the kingdom of God. Seek his ways. Seek his path. And do it his way. Amen? No shortcuts. Sometimes it'll be hard work, isn't it? The pilgrim path is hard work. There will be obstacles. There will be difficulties to overcome. But God will bring us through. Let's have that deep assurance. Yes, it might hurt at times. Yes, you might feel bewildered. Why has God allowed this thing? Why has God allowed that thing? We're all in the same boat with this. But as the saints over the ages have declared, God is faithful. He who has called you is faithful. He has called you into his family. He has called you into his kingdom. And he will not let you go. You may feel, I don't know what God's doing now. I'll tell you now, he won't let you go. He will be with you. In the trials and the temptations and the difficulties, he'll be with you. And in the triumphs and the victories and the joy, he'll be with you. Amen? Please be assured. God has that plan. And it's more wonderful than you can imagine. Why do I say that? Because the Bible tells me that God can do immeasurably more than we can think or imagine. That's what the word says, not me. That's what God's word says. As soon as we've got very vivid imaginations, we think, oh, imagine all sorts. God's got a greater plan. A greater plan for you. Amen? So can we pray?